Somebody help Jim find his chair. All right. Are you ready to worship? You know, we come here, I just pray that it's not just coming to church, that we come to worship the King of Kings. We worship an audience of one. It's not about us, it's about Him. So let's center our hearts on that. Pray with me. Jesus, thank you for all that you have done, are doing, and will do. You are the King of Kings. You are sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. You love us, and we want to love you back. We want to exalt your name, that name that is above every name. We want everything that happens today to please you, to honor and glorify you. Send your Holy Spirit into this place. Surprise us, Lord. We may have come dragging in all sorts of stuff. Surprise us with your presence. Surprise us with your goodness, your power. We love you, and we pray it in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. If you'll rise if you're able, welcome to our live stream worshipers as well. Let's worship together.
Good morning. Sing with us.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Are you washed,
are you washed
in the blood,
in the blood,
in the soul?
From all
Amen. You may be seated. If the children would hold tight for just a second.
So if you were here last week, we started the journey, because there's a lot of them. We started the journey of honoring all the seniors. Last week, we honored the first eight. We have three more to honor today. And so with that being said, we are going to take this time to honor those seniors. And so we are going to call the seniors up one by one, and they'll come see Shauna. Shauna will hand them their things. And then we'll call the families to come up and be surround them. And then Pastor Jeff's going to come up and pray over them to kind of close us out for this moment. So if these people would come up as I call their name, David Chenever. You can just go down. Owen Gooch. And Zoe Jeter. You don't have to sit down like the boys did, Zoe. It's fine. So with that being said, these are our seniors. And then we also always make the just open account of if there are any seniors in the room that we did not honor, whether that be more high school graduates or college graduates this year, and you'd like to be honored as well, you're more than welcome to come up, and we'd love to pray for you as well. And so just open call, as we do every year, if there's anybody. No? Yes? No? Good? Okay. Yeah. Woo! Always feels great when we have the right number. But with that being said, I'm going to ask that the families will come up and surround each of the graduating seniors. And then Jeff will make his way forward to pray.
So just while they're coming up, or before we pray, so David's going to go to TSTC and be a lineman?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's awesome. And Zoe's going to McMurray. And Owen is going to in the military. And I've already broke this to him, the hair goes. I'm just saying, you know, it's just enjoy it for until you, you know. Anyway, all right, let's pray for these graduates. Lord, we love you. We thank you for sharing these graduates with us, Father, these families with us. Lord, I pray blessings on each of them as they go forward into what the Lord has for them in their life. God, I pray safety, spiritual and physical safety and protection for them. Lord, I pray that you would go before them. You would create strong friendships. Father, that you'd give them exactly the path that they would walk. I thank you for these families that have sown into their lives. I pray that your peace in this transition, your peace would fall on these families as well. God, it's for both the graduate and the families, God, this is a new time. This is new things. And so, Lord, we pray all those things would be blessed by you. Lord, we thank you, God, for sharing them with us. In the powerful name of Jesus, amen. One more thing before we send the kids out. Warren and Nancy Borders, come on up. Warren and Nancy, come to join our church this morning. Woohoo! Y'all will come right here. I'm going to come down there in just a second. Okay. You both have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. You've been baptized. You're followers of Christ, and we receive that and affirm that. So I just ask you again, just to affirm it to this group, is Jesus the Lord, your Lord and Savior? Yeah. Amen. And will you be loyal to this church with your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness? Yes. We bless you. God bless you. And y'all can go ahead and be seated. Make sure that the Border family gets greeted before you leave today. And children, you may meet Miss Carlene over here for Children's Church.
Good morning, church. Good to see everybody this morning. I want to encourage you to go ahead and check into whichever service you're attending, either in the building or online. Next event on the calendar on the 17th, which is two Sundays from today, there will be a discovery class. It is for those who would like to know more about Wiley Methodist Church. You may be new to our fellowship. And you can meet our pastor that morning in the church office between 9 and 10:30. He would love to meet with you. Summer's almost here. My goodness. Summer camps will start around the 1st of June and will run through the end of July. And then Vacation Bible School is June 14th through the 17th. We have lots of kids already registered, but there are lots of opportunities to squeeze other kids in there. So you can do that either through the app or through the website. Also need lots of adult servants as well. So if you can help with that event, please sign up there as well. So typically every Sunday I pray what I feel is on my heart. And this morning I would like to give you an opportunity to express what's on your heart, and I'd like to pray into those things. I don't always get it right. Sometimes I make something up, you know, when it's time to pray. But I'd really think I think the Lord would like for us to just pray what's ever stirring in you. So I got my hearing aids turned up really loud, which that helps. But if something's going on that you want to present to the Lord that we can pray about, just go ahead and speak that out. Try to keep that maybe short and concise. So anything we need to take to the Lord this morning, go ahead. Feel free to do that.
Discipleship
in general.
Sharing Christ with others.
Okay. That we'll be stirred to do that, that we'll have a passion for that. Our military, yes. Okay. Continue to pray for the youth as they move on to the next chapter of life, with the graduating seniors. Anything else? Yes. Oh, I saw Debbie Mills waving. Go ahead and then Debbie. Yes.
Healing.
Okay. Yes, Debbie. Okay. Emily, right? Michael and Emily. She's five months pregnant and passed out at church. We need to lift her up to the Lord. Anything else? Yes, Danny. So seeking the Lord for a deeper knowledge of who He is through His Word. There's lots of nuggets in the Scriptures. Lots of them. Okay, anything else? God bless the caregivers. Anything else? Pray for our government. You know, sometimes I don't know how to pray for our government. And sometimes the promise from the Holy Spirit is He will intercede when we don't know how to pray. So Holy Spirit, gosh, move in power. Anything else? So protection for children. Did I miss something? Amen. Okay. Protection from worldly influences. One more thing, anybody? Okay. Safe travel for families. If there's something on your heart that you haven't shared verbally, I encourage you just to press into that need. And I'll go ahead and pray and cover what we know that's on your hearts this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are the God who sees, the God who knows. Nothing escapes your notice. And Father, all these situations that we've mentioned and beyond that, God, you already have an outcome assigned for those situations. And so, Lord, we trust you. We trust you. We're presenting these to you in a sense saying, God, we need you. We need you to intervene for your glory in these situations. And Lord, I just pray that you stir us deeply about making disciples for Jesus Christ. I pray that you give us a passion for the lost, a passion for the hurting, a passion for the broken, Lord. And God, I pray for protection for our military men and women, God, in the Middle East and around the world. Father, I just thank you for the supernatural things that we witnessed you doing, rescuing a couple of pilots right in the clutches of the enemy. God, we thank you for that. Pray for divine protection for them moving forward. I pray for wisdom for our government moving forward. God, I pray for God, somehow, supernaturally, I pray, God, for the division to lessen, the division to cease. I pray for unity in the halls of Congress. I pray for that, that you're honored, that you're glorified there. I pray against what the enemy would try to do to disrupt, to divide and cause chaos. Seems like now he has the upper hand. Father, I just pray that turn for your glory. God, I pray for our youth that are graduating and moving on to the next chapter of their life. I pray blessings on them. God, I pray that they have a heart for you as they move into the college world, into the working world. Father, would you just protect their minds? Just bless them. Pray for healing for those who need healing this morning. Pray for precious Emily and God, would you just bless her? Would you touch her? Would you heal her body? Whatever's going on with her that has caused her to pass out, Father, I pray that you change that situation for your glory. I pray for the Mills family. I pray for Michael, that family, God. I just pray, Lord, that you give them peace and comfort. And Lord, I just thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, that you revealed your heart to us through the written word. And Lord, I just pray you give us a passion for that. There's so much there, Father, that we don't know. And God, you reveal that to us in your word. So give us a passion, give us a heart to know you more through the study of Scripture. Lord, I lift up caregivers, Lord. I pray, Father, that they not grow weary in doing good. Some of those situations are incredibly difficult. And so, Lord, I just pray that you help them not to become jaded, help them not to become bitter. Lord, I just pray that they have joy in the midst of their journey. Lord, I pray for our young people, our children. Lord, there's so many influences out there that would drag them away from the truth. And Lord, I just pray that you give them discernment. I pray for supernatural protection. I pray for angelic protection for them. Lord, guard their little hearts, guard their little minds, protect their eyes, protect their ears from the things that they see and the things that they hear. And Lord, I just pray for safe travel for the families who have opportunities to get away this summer. Pray for those college students as if they live out of town that will transport back and forth. I pray for protection and safety for them as well. God, thank you for this time. Lord, you are the most important person in this room. And we love you, we worship you, we adore you. We pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Church, thank you again for your financial faithfulness. Giving options, as always, are on the screen. Offering boxes are by the doors. If you need prayer this morning, we have a couple of people available. Who are our prayer people this morning? Joyce and Doug. They would love to pray for you, so take advantage of that if you need prayer this morning. Let's stand and continue to worship the Lord together.
I raise a hallelujah.
There's a song in my soul, and I feel it stirring in me. This I know for sure, that your love is like a flood, and your mercy never ending. I give my song to you. There's a joy in my soul, and it rises like the morning. This I know for sure, that your grace is enough, and your promise never breaking. I give my song to you. All of your goodness is like a well running over, and oh, my soul, it sings for you. For all of your goodness, I will love you forever, and oh, that I will look upon your face, forever dwell in your presence, and always sing to you. For all of your goodness is like a well running over. Oh, my soul, it sings for you. For all of your singing out, holy, holy, all my days, every single breath I breathe. Singing out, holy, holy, let my life be to you a symphony. Singing out, holy. It's like a well running over, and oh, my soul, it sings for you. All of your goodness, and I will love you forever, and all my songs I sing for you. Yes, all my songs I sing for you. Yeah, all my songs I sing for you. You may be seated.
Well, good morning again.
Morning.
We praise God above the heavenly hosts. Yes, it's on. You're out there?
Amen.
Glad you're with us this morning. Glad you're worshiping. If you're our guest, we're especially glad you're here. If you are our guest, I hope you feel the love of His people, the love of Christ, the love of the Holy Spirit. There's a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe. It says guest registration. Would love for you to fill that out. You don't have to do that, but I'd love to meet you, and I'll be at this end of the foyer after the service with a free gift for our guests. Before we go into the message today, this is on my heart. I want to share this with you. Let me first say this. You guys, we've got several things we're raising funds for besides just our ongoing ministry. We also have the Capital Fund Drive that we're doing. We had Gideon's last week. We have the Christmas shoe boxes and all sorts of different things that we raise funds for. And I'm not trying to bleed you dry, but when the Lord shares this with me, I feel obligated and blessed to share it. Carol Burson, Mark and Carol, raise your hand back there. Carol went. Did you go? Just Carol to the. Carol went to the to a conference, missions conference, correct? A few months ago, met a pastor and his wife from the Philippines, Santiago, and they have started a church. I believe it's a Global Methodist Church. Yes, Global Methodist Church. But they are doing it basically out of homes, and they're up to 500 or so people that they are ministering to. They don't have a building. They are raising money to build a building, and their cost for their entire building is, are you ready? $25,000. I wish we could build a new building for $25,000. But anyway, they have raised, internally, they have raised, as of a couple of weeks ago, all but $6,500. They and I know there's a couple of people in the church who have already stepped in, and about $1,100 of that has already been met through our church. I'm just laying it out there. If anybody feels led to help this church to build a building, you can just write a check to the Wiley Methodist Church and just put Philippines on it. You know, here's what the Lord's been prompting me. Our addition, this church, it's not about Wiley Methodist. It's about kingdom, bringing people to Christ, ministering to people with the love of Christ. And I just believe God, if we help these folks in any way, I just believe God will bless that. He's already abundantly blessing us. I just believe He'll bless that. So if the Lord puts that on your heart, to participate in that, just write that check and mark it Philippines. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Now, it's probably obvious, but the disciple, the apostle Matthew, penned this letter, this gospel, and this story that I'm fixing to share from this gospel is a firsthand accounting, okay, of something that happened to him. Matthew 9, verse 9. Now, Jesus had been in the area, had been in the region, he'd been healing people, he'd been teaching, and we pick it up in verse 9. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew, who's writing this letter, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the wealthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we invite you to be with us. We invite you to speak. We need you to speak. Would you speak in power and authority today? Would you, Father, reach us in places we need to be reached? Convey what you would have us to hear and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So I couldn't resist. I want to play a little short little video here. How many of you are watching the or have watched The Chosen? We haven't watched the very last season, but it's when it comes out free, we'll watch that. Many of you have watched this, but I love that series. I love the way they portray Jesus, and there's a little clip I want to show you, and it's Matthew. And we know this from Scripture, but also they convey this in this series. Matthew was a tax collector, and he was, it wasn't just a tax collector, honest tax collector, but he was requiring things, and maybe even through pressure of the Romans or whatever, he was requiring things that were unjust, taxes that were unjust. And in this series, it portrays it where Matthew had called in some sort of tax statement to Peter, which was going to wipe him out. I mean, it was going to wipe out his business, his family. It was going to destroy Peter financially. So they both are called by Jesus. They're both now disciples. And for the very several episodes, Peter's not liking him too much, Matthew. He's angry at Matthew for what he had done to or was trying to do to his family before Matthew started following Jesus. And they just are not getting along. Peter basically hates Matthew. And then Peter has a conversation with Jesus. And this is the result. Go ahead, Lee.
Of the earth, right? It's over.
Jesus said, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Today's message is God loves messed up people. Many times God is portrayed and sometimes preached that God is this God that stands above us and he's just waiting for us to mess up so he can just zap us, so he can condemn us. That's not the God I know. It's not the God I've been introduced to. He desires mercy. He didn't come for the healthy. He came for the sick. God loves messed up people. And I know that may be an offensive title. I apologize for that, but that's what the Lord laid on my heart. And so first thing, as we dive in here, number one, we're all messed up. We're all messed up. Scripture says it a little bit different way. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. See, God's standard, his standard of holiness and righteousness is up here. In our best attempts, we can never get there because we fall short of the glory of God. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So I'm going to see if y'all are better at this than the first service was. Hi, my name is Jeff, and I'm a messed up person. Y'all are a little bit better. I think it's just because there's more of you than you're really not better. Let's try it again. Are you ready? Hi, I'm Jeff, and I'm a messed up person. There we go. If God only loved the people who had their act totally together, this pulpit would be empty and so would heaven. The good news of the gospel isn't that God loves perfect people, it's that he loves broken people, messed up people, and that's all of us. I love this passage out of Isaiah. All our righteous acts are like filthy rags. So we try to clean ourselves up and we try to attain somehow this level where God will be pleased with us and where he will accept us in our own strength. And what Scripture is telling us is to God, that's like filthy rags. Don't bring your righteous acts don't get it done. But the good news is God demonstrates his own love for us while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, while we were still messed up, Christ died for us. Is that good news to anybody but me? Amen. Am I the only one that's glad he loves messed up people? We're all messed up, short of Christ. Secondly, Jesus is drawn to messed up people. The religious leaders of the time, and probably even still today, they avoided sinners. Jesus pursued them. It's not the healthy who need a doctor, he said, but the sick. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners. He's all about broken people. He's all about messed up people that need him, which is really all of us, but some of us don't respond to that. If you look at Scripture, throughout Scripture, I mean, everybody in Scripture, except for Jesus, is messed up. Moses was a murderer, and he was reluctant to follow God. David was, listen to this list, he was an adulterer, a liar, and a murderer. Matthew was a corrupt tax collector. Peter was prideful and he denied that he even knew Jesus. Paul was a persecutor of Christians. And on and on and on the list can go. We're all messed up and Jesus is drawn to messed up people. And it's not, we don't surprise or shock God with our failures. God's not naive to our sin. He sees it fully. He sees our sin fully. But he also, and this is a word I'm going to impress you with, he also sees our intrinsic value. You like that word? I didn't even know I knew that word. He's not surprised with how messed up we are, but he sees past that. He sees value. Enough value that he went to a cross for us. The early service is a little different, but this $50 bill, and it's pretty pristine. It's got one fold that I put it in my pocket, but it's pristine. It's well, how much is this, the value of this bill? Oh, we got smart people out there. $50. It's the value of this piece of paper. This area, and I'm not trying to gross anybody out, but we all walk around, and we walk. I've learned this with my wife. We all get stuff on our shoes. I won't go there. Never mind. Anyway, so you can talk to me later. So we have things on our shoes from outside, from other places we go, and we're walking on carpet. We're walking. A lot of us have walked here. Right? Now my wife won't let me back in the house with this dollar, $550. So this has now been rubbed in all that stuff we track in on our shoes. How much value does it have now? Oh, it's still $50? It's amazing. But it's been rubbed through all the gunk down there. Still $50? It's all wadded up now. It's not pristine anymore. How much value does it have? Still $50? So you can see right through the gunk and the wad. You can still see that it's got value, the same value that it always had. That's the way God looks at us. We have value. We may feel like we've been run through the mud. We may feel like the life has watered us up and spit us out. And yet God sees the intrinsic value that He's assigned to us, that He has for us. And it's not this love based on ignorance, on God's ignorance, like He just doesn't understand what I've been through. No, it's based on God's grace. God's grace. It is, Ephesians, it is by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Grace. I have some relatives that they went on a walk to Emmaus several years ago. If you hadn't been on a walk to Emmaus, you can ask me about that later. But the basic weekend of a walk to Emmaus, the basic message is God's grace. And these relatives were raised in the church, but they were raised in a church that they were very works-oriented, to say it in the nicest way I can say it. And they went on this walk, and they came back, and they were like, grace? We didn't know anything. We didn't know about grace. Why has that been hidden? It's been here all along. It's by grace you've been saved, not by works. It's a gift of God. And another way in Galatians that God's word says, I don't set aside the grace of God, Paul says, for if righteousness, as God's standard, if righteousness could be gained through the law, here it is, Christ died for nothing. If we somehow have the ability to attain this standard of holiness that God has, if we could somehow attain that our own, then Christ died for nothing. Well, this may be news to people. He didn't die for nothing. He died for you. He died for me. He died because He loves us. Because He knew that by works alone, we couldn't attain His standard, His holy standard of perfection. But He could. We're all messed up. Jesus is drawn to messed up people. And number three, Jesus transforms messed up people. He loves us just the way we are, but He doesn't want to leave us this way. He wants to transform us, to make us more like Him. Romans 12, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. So there's this, basically, we have an enemy that wants us to follow the ways of the flesh and the ways of the world. And guess what? Those ways, that path, leads to death and destruction. But he entices us, and God is saying, don't conform any longer to that. Be transformed. I died for you. By grace, through faith, you're saved. Don't conform any longer to the ways of the world. I love this, and I want you to, I challenge you to go and read this whole thing. But 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 says, Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? And then the next verse, there's a whole list of ways of the world. I want you to go and read that on your own, verse 10. Verse 11 says, the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is what some of you were. That's what some of us, all of us, were. That's what we were, ways of the world. But you, this is what you were, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. I spoke of Walk to Emmaus a while ago, and that y'all, if you've heard my testimony, you know that was a turning point in my life. But I remember I was working on one of those weekends, and I was hanging around with some of the other, two or three of the other guys that were working on that team, and one of the people that was participating in the walk, he was getting set up in his room or whatever, and his sister that brought him out there came to us and said, my brother's got these sins, and she listed off two or three sins in his life. Man, would you please pray that God would free him from these sins? And so, sure, we'll do that. So we began to pray, and I guess it was probably later that day, the men that I was praying with for this gentleman, he got a word from the Lord, and he said, we're doing it all wrong. We don't need to pray that God would free him from those sins. We need to pray that he would introduce him to Jesus. Because then when Jesus is his Lord, then he works on the cleaning up. We don't need to pray against the sin. We need to introduce people to Jesus. Jesus transforms messed up people. Man, I'm Jeff, and I'm a messed up person. You're supposed to, okay. We'll work on it. Number four. Then Jesus uses transformed people. Man, I've said this so many times, but the gospel is not about, okay, I've accepted Christ, I've got my ticket to heaven, I'm going to put it in my billfold, and I'm good. That's not it. Yes, we receive eternal life. Yes, that's a great benefit. But the gospel is, Jesus said, go and tell. You know that I was dead. You know that I am now alive. You know that I can change lives. Go tell people that. Go and make disciples. If we're in Christ, we're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. I love this 2 Corinthians passage in chapter 12 where Paul is struggling. He's struggling with this thorn in the flesh, and we don't know what the thorn was. We just know it was something he was struggling with. And it says in verse 8, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Anybody ever pleaded with the Lord for something? That's okay. But the Lord answered Paul. He said to me, my grace, there it is, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in people who really try hard. No, that's not what it says? Oh, wait, let me read that again. For my power is made perfect in weakness. That's totally contrary to the ways of the world. Where the world says you got to struggle, try harder, read this, go do that, watch this video, and Jesus is saying, my power is made perfect in your weakness. When you say I can't do it, that's really one of the greatest prayers you can pray. Lord, help me. I haven't got a clue how to get out of this. Just help me. He doesn't just forgive us, he transforms us. And our weakness is not a disqualification of his grace. It's a platform for God's power. When we're weak and we cry out to God and he transforms us, it's a demonstration of his power. It brings him glory. You may feel that you're just like that $50 bill, all watered up, all dirtied up. But the good news is God sees you. He sees you. He values you. He loves you. You're redeemable, and you have a divine purpose. Church, we all, in Christ, we all have a divine purpose, what he wants to do with us. If you'll just bow your heads with me. Father, we cry out to you as messed up people. We thank you that you, Jesus, while we were yet sinners, you died for us. You died for messed up people. And you want to transform us, and you want to use us to our divine purpose. Lord, Holy Spirit, would you move in each one of us here as we're in this attitude of prayer, Lord? Would you show us what we need to do, how we need to respond? We thank you for the gift of your body and blood. We receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. So this meal, it'll be on the screen as well, but we're going to go through the liturgy this morning. It's also on page 12 of your book, of your hymn book that's in front of you. You'll read after me, read with me, the bold print. Hear this invitation. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him. Church, do you love him? Amen. You're invited. Who earnestly repents of their sin. Do you repent of your sin? Yes. You're invited. And seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If you pray your own personal prayer of confession before our holy and loving God. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Amen. Great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By baptism of a suffering death and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, he gave thanks to you, and he broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. If those who are serving will come forward, please. Christ our Lord has invited you to his table. It's his table. It's not my table. It's not our church's table. If you have confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've repented of your sins, you're welcome to come. These two stations over here and these two stations over here, you'll be given a piece of bread. You can dip it into the cup and partake in that manner. If you'd rather have the individual elements, you can come to the center. Go ahead and take those back to your seat and consume the bread first. It'll work out better for you. And then you can throw those out as you exit this sanctuary today. Christ loves you. Come.
like a hurricane. I am a tree bending the knee. The way that he loves.
demonstrated his love for us while we were messed up. He died for us. That proves his love for us. That's good news. Go and tell someone. God bless you.
Yeah, he
this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. And wash me as white as snow, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.